The army returned to Caravia without incident. Stavin released Lady General Zelneran to return to her post, but had Lord General Keldestar and Lady General Zelpardin stay with him. After all, the remainder of your commands is already in Moravat. The trip took just 14 days, and soon Stavin was sitting in a chair next to King Teravan's bed, explaining what he'd done. King Teravan listened in silence until Stavin was done with his story. Then he closed his eyes.
A fitting ending for that murdering bastard and his followers.
Stavin smiled. And since that is the end of the matter, I will be abdicating in your favor in the morning, once we have convened the full court. King Teravan looked at him intensely for a moment, then sighed.
You are still determined to give it all back?
Yes, Stavin answered with a curt nod. Caravia deserves a better king than me. I know just enough to be a bad king, but not nearly enough to be a good king. King Teravan shook his head slowly as he replied,
No one knows what kind of king they will be until they are wearing the crown, and by then it's too late.
King Teravan smiled at Stavin.
I think you, King Stavin Zelandral, were a very good king for Caravia in her peril.
Stavin smiled and bowed, then went to find his family. The court was nearly empty. Only the chosen officers and the few lords and ladies from Moravad were in attendance, but that was not a problem. Many of the officers had been witness to King Teravan's abdication in favor of Stavin, and now they nodded in satisfaction as Stavin kept his promise and abdicated in favor of King Teravan. Princess Elisan helped her father to his throne and eased him into it. He could still barely walk, but the weakness that had made his hands shake was just a memory. When King Teravan was in place, King Stavin walked out onto the dais. Stavin walked to the edge of the dais and stopped, looking out over the few men and women who had come to bear witness to the event. He was dressed in one of his finest outfits, much to Averin's satisfaction, and he smiled as he looked at the lords and ladies. When he stopped, the room fell silent.
Many of you were present when King Teravan proclaimed me King of Caravia. You also heard me promise to return the kingdom to the chosen clan of Darvin. Today, I keep that promise. I, King Stephen Markan Carvan Dokelin Neaniston Zalandral, formally abdicate in favor of King Teravan Zeldarvin. As of this moment, let your fealty return to where it belongs.
There was a moment of silence. Then the officers began filing forward to the base of the dais, going to one knee briefly to Stavin, then going to both knees in front of King Teravan.
King Teravan, Lord General Keldestar said loudly, I pledge my life, my fortune, and my secret honor to you and your dynasty.
He stood and stepped aside, then came to attention as every officer followed his example. Then every lord and lady of Moravad pledged their loyalty to King Teravan Zeldarvin, as they had when he had taken the throne more than 11 years before. King Teravan managed to stand for just a moment, just long enough to say,
I accept your fealty,
before his knees buckled to drop him back in his throne. Princess Elisan stepped forward now and bowed to the court.
We are deeply indebted to Prince Stephen for his aid in this time of trouble. We wish to express our gratitude in a tangible fashion, but so far he has refused most of our ideas.
She paused to grin at Stavin. Stavin was looking at her with a puzzled expression on his face. What's she up to? The princess turned back to the court and bowed her head deeply.
Since he has refused everything else we have offered him, we have decided on a course of action that he can't refuse. As of this moment, Prince Stavin Zelandral is now, and forevermore, a scion of Clan Zeldarvin, and until I have an heir of my body, he is my heir.
Stavin was stunned, but not nearly as stunned as the chosen men and women below them. A low rumbling was building to a roar among the chosen of Moravad, but most of the officers just grinned.
"'We have chosen this course of action,' she continued loudly, "'because almost every member of our clan was murdered by Zell Dravel and his followers. "'You officers have seen Prince Stephen in action. "'You lords and leaders of Moravad are free because of the actions of Prince Stephen. "'If the worst should happen and my father should die before I reach my majority, "'King Stephen will lead our kingdom once again. "'If another traitor should make a bid for the throne, "'King Stephen shall once again take it back for us.'
Stephen looked toward King Terravan, and almost choked when he saw the expression on the king's face. No cat in a birdcage ever looked so pleased with himself. An elderly lord strode forward to glare up at the princess.
"'Your Highness, what's to keep him from taking the throne for himself?'
"'The same thing that kept him from keeping the throne this time. His honor.'
Princess Elisanne looked at Stephen and smiled.
"'King Stephen did not have to return Caravia to us. Both my father and I made that clear to him, but he made a promise when father made him the king, and he kept that promise. We think his honour is sufficient to ensure that only the most dire of circumstances would lead him to the throne again.'
Stephen stepped toward the princess and bowed to King Terravan, and again to Princess Elisanne.
"'Your Majesty, Your Highness, I pledge on my honour, here in front of these witnesses, that the only way I will ever again accept the crown of Caravia is in the event of both of your deaths.'
King Terravan nodded, then held up one finger.
"'Or upon my death, if it should happen before Crown Prince Elisanne reaches her majority.'
Stephen bowed deeply and said, "'As you command, Your Majesty.'
"'In addition,'
King Terravan continued,
"'In honour of Prince Stephen's service to the kingdom, Senior War Master Zell Andral's rank shall be recognised by all army units in Caravia. Normally that would automatically make him General of the Armies of Caravia, but his other responsibilities prevent that.'
Princess Elisanne bowed to her father, then turned and said,
"'Court is adjourned.'
Then she helped her father from the room, as Stephen descended to talk with Karvik. Karvik murmured, "'Heir to Caravia as well as Evandia, and Caravia's ranking warrior as well. I can't wait to see King Keelan's reaction to this bit of news.' Stephen shook his head slowly, and looked at the floor as he murmured back,
"'I can.'
It took two more days for the palace to settle enough to get on with the business of the kingdom. Princess Elisanne took control of the council in the king's absence, but Shari was always there to back her.
"'We have to fulfill our obligations to Evandia,' Shari explained, "'but we have obligations to Caravia as well. You do realize that by making Stevie your heir, you made me your big sister?'
Ellie smiled and giggled.
"'Yes, we knew what we were doing. Dad is still too weak to take an active role in the council, and I still need you. I really shouldn't be heir by right yet. I didn't do my 2 years with the army.'
She looked at the table and sighed.
"'I was going to report this year.' "'You are? I'm sorry, Ellie. You are the only child.' Your claim cannot be supplanted, and if you had reported before we got here, we might not have been able to do all the things we did. King Stephen would have,
she replied softly.
We would have tried, but Ellie, you don't know Stephen all that well. I think his anger over the way Zell Dravel treated you drove him a little harder than anything else. He has very real hatred for rapists.
Elisanne sighed again.
He was pretty mad about that. General Zell Astel and his men certainly were. General Zell Astel?
She turned and looked Shari in the eyes.
We have to find a new general of the Royal Guard.
Shari nodded.
And general of the armies as well. Stephen had an idea, but he wanted you and your father to make the decision. Oh? Lord General Keldestar as General of the Armies of Caravia, and Lady General Zell Pardin as General of the Caravian Royal Guard.
Princess Elisen got a dreamy look in her eyes as she said,
"General Corey, oh Shari, I would love that. But he is so junior."
"Stephen and your father discussed it before he went after Zeldravel. And Lady Rivala seems to be flexible enough. Plus, well, Stevie said she has a forceful personality. It is going to take a forceful personality to whip the Caribbean Royal Guard into shape. Come with me to discuss it with Dad."
Stavin and Shari went with Ellie to King Teravan's bedside that night.
"Dad, Shari said you and Stephen discussed making General Corey the General of the Armies. Why didn't you tell me?"
"I wanted to see if he came back before I said anything,"
the king replied, smiling at his daughter.
"I know how much you adore him, and I didn't want to get your hopes up in case something happened. But I am in favor of it now as well. Corey will make a good general for our armies."
Princess Elisan looked at Stavin.
"And Lady Rivala?"
Stavin smiled and bowed.
"Yes, Your Highness. King Taravan, I would propose that Lady General Zell Pardin be appointed General of the Caribbean Royal Guard."
King Taravan grinned.
"Revy Zell Pardin is an excellent suggestion. While I hate to cast a shadow on the man's memory, General Zell Kasten was perhaps a bit too much of a gentleman for the post. He and his men were too gentle, too restrained when Zell Dravel attacked, and none of them survived."
The king grinned and then chuckled.
"Revy has been accused of being a lot of things over the years, but she's never been accused of being gentle or restrained. So we will let Revy have her way with the new battalion."
"Daddy?"
Princess Elisan asked softly, with a hint of suspicion in her tone.
"How well do you know her?"
The king grinned at his daughter and said,
"I almost married her. She is the daughter of Lord General Kelistan Zelpardin, Corey and my first commanding officer at Fort Zeltalgan."
When she just glared at him, he chuckled and continued,
"She was too young, though. Just 14 when I finished my tour. Your mum knew her as well. She's your mum's second cousin. Daddy!"
The announcement was made the next morning. Lord General Keldestar stood shocked silent as Princess Elisan pinned the insignia on his breast, then hugged him.
"I am so glad you are going to be around, General Corey,"
she murmured against his chest.
"I need you."
The general broke protocol by hugging her in return.
"I will always be here for you, my princess."
Lady General Zell Pardin was a bit more shocked when Princess Elisan told her of her promotion.
"You're making me the what?"
Princess Elisan giggled.
"Dad said you are Mum's cousin, so you are family, and General Zell Astell is leaving with Prince Stephen in a little while, so we are appointing you as the General of the Caribbean Royal Guard."
She glanced over at a grinning Warvin Zell Astell.
"King Stephen was impressed by your flexibility and ability to think on your feet in the field. Our Royal Guard has a good start, but you are going to have to continue the work that the Avandian Royal Guard began with our troops. We will not be overthrown again."
Rivala Zelpardin nodded slowly as she said,
"No, we won't. Not on my watch."
Stavin and Shari remained in Moravad for 20 more days, completing their original trade mission, and arranging favored trader status for the members of the Aravad Traders Council.
"It's only fair,"
Stavin argued, "given the Aravad Council's help with Zeldravel." The new King's Council that Shari and Ellie had appointed had taken to their responsibilities with remarkable vigor, and they and King Taravan agreed to just about everything Stavin proposed. The time finally arrived when it was time to go home to Avandia. Stavin and Shari were able to take their leave of King Taravan and Princess Elisan in the courtroom. All five of them walked to the base of the dais and went to one knee. Stavin said,
"Your Majesty, Your Highness, we request permission to return to Evandia.
King Teravan stood tall as he looked down on Stavin and his family. There was a fond smile on his face as he said,
Prince Stephen, the kingdom is forever in your debt. Return to your home, but remember that you are home here as well.
The king sat down, and three small forms ran up the five steps of the dais. Carlin, Sarin, and Marin all hugged the king, and he hugged them back.
You be careful, darlings, he murmured, as he held all three of them.
We will, Grandpa Terry,
Carlin replied for all three of them. Then they stepped back, bowed to the king, and turned to run down the stairs and rejoin their parents. As they left the court, Stavin looked at Shari and said,
I wonder if we could take a detour to Fort Kelvardil and see if Lord General Zell Enred has dug up anything new.
Shari threw her head back and laughed.
I don't think anyone would mind, Stevie. I don't think they would mind at all.
Chapter 23 The royal party rode out of Moravad on the same northerly road that Stavin had taken in pursuit of Zell Dravel. This time, however, he was much more relaxed.
This is really beautiful country, isn't it?
He asked Shari as he looked around. The trees were different here, and their colourful leaves tended more toward reds than the golds of the trees around Twin Bridges.
It's also gorgeous, she replied in a soft voice.
It's beautiful,
Marin said in a delighted tone.
It's like the lady painted the trees specially for us,
Sarin agreed. Stavin laughed and smiled at his son. What about you, Carlin?
I wish I could paint like Aunt Sora. I'd paint a picture of the trees so we could keep them like this forever.
Shari laughed with delight.
You can learn, Carly. Remember, Aunt Sora has been painting since Daddy was a little boy. You have years to learn how.
I know, Mama, but I have to learn to be a warrior first. Then I can learn to paint.
Karvik chuckled from the far side of the group. You can do both, Carlin. Your dad learned to be a warrior and a scribe at the same time, and there is a place with the army for artists. He paused as all five members of the royal party focused on him. Reports from the generals to the king often include detailed maps and sketches of the scene. Who do you think does that? Carlin was looking excited.
I could do that. I can draw, and I can learn to paint. Indeed you can,
Stavin said as he bowed his head to Karvik. This road was not an imperial highway, so there were no royal inns for them to stay in. Still, this close to the capital, the towns were only about a day apart. Nothing happened to disturb their peaceful travel until their 11th day on the road. The town of Serilan was a typical farming community, surrounded by a circular wall of peeled logs about 2 men high, with sharp points on the top of the timbers. The gates stood open, and neat buildings in browns and muted whites lined the road, which appeared to pass straight through the town. There were only about 300 souls who called it home, but probably twice that number lived within half a day's travel. Captain Zell Corval and his cavalry still escorted Stavin's party, and he sent a squad of riders ahead. The entire town council, all five of them, was waiting for Stavin in front of the only inn Serilan boasted. It was one of only a handful of two-story buildings to be seen. As soon as the royal party stopped their horses, a rotund man with a wide grin on his face stepped forward and bowed.
"Prince Stephen, we welcome you and your family to Serilan," he said as he bowed again, and the people behind him knelt.
Stavin bowed his head slightly.
"We thank you for your welcome. Who are you, good sir?"
"Who? Oh, I must be losing my mind, Prince Stephen. Please forgive me. I am Startan Fel Estel, Mayor of Serilan."
He bowed deeply again.
"Behind me are the members of our city council. Innkeeper Fel Vanden has her staff setting the top floor to rights for you."
One of the kneeling women stood and walked forward, then stopped to bow deeply when she was beside the mayor.
"Prince Stephen, I am Maldan Fel Vanden, keeper of the Dancing Frog Inn."
She bowed deeply again, sweeping her arm to the side toward the steps.
"Please be welcome under my roof."
Shari took the initiative and said,
"'We thank you for your welcome, Innkeeper Felvanden. Please show us to the necessary in the bathing room.'
The innkeeper bowed to Shari and said,
"'This way, please, your highness,'
and led the way into the inn. Shari and the girls, along with the maids and guardswomen, followed right behind her. At Stavin's nod, Captain Zell Corval sent his women along as well. Stavin smiled as he watched them go, then looked at the mayor.
"'After we've cleaned up and had a bite to eat, I would be pleased to meet with you and your council. But please limit the number of people you bring. This has been a longer-than-normal day for us.'
The mayor and everyone behind him bowed very low. Then the mayor replied,
"'Of course, your highness.'
Stavin took Shari's horse by the reins as Carlin and Karvik sorted the twins' horses. The mayor seemed to be on the verge of apoplexy, but Major Zell Astel just shook his head.
"'They see to the princess's horses and their own themselves. It's a Kalkavan tradition.'
The mayor bowed again but didn't say anything. Stavin and Carlin arrived at the bathing room to find all three princes in the room's only tub.
"'We'll be done in a moment. The water isn't very hot, though.'
Stavin sighed in disappointment, then just murmured, "'Warm beats cold,' as he shook his head sorrowfully. When Stavin and Carlin had finished their bath, they went up to find that the mayor hadn't exaggerated about them getting the entire top floor, all four rooms of it. Stavin shook his head slowly.
"'I'm already missing the royal inns.'
Shari chuckled and replied,
"'Remember, it was your idea to come this way.'
Stavin took a deep breath and let it out in an explosive sigh.
"'I know.'
They returned to the ground floor to find the common room empty of everyone except their guards. Innkeeper Felvanden hurried over and bowed deeply.
"'I beg your forgiveness, your highnesses, but we have limited fare to offer you.'
She seemed about to die of embarrassment, so Shari again took the lead.
"'Innkeeper Felvanden, you needn't be concerned. So long as it's hot, it will be fine.'
The innkeeper bowed deeply again, and wouldn't even look at Shari as she explained,
"'Your Highness, all we have that is hot is bread and bison stew. That will do nicely,'
Shari replied.
"'Stephen and I will have beer with our stew, and the children will have milk.'
The innkeeper bowed and said,
"'At once, your highness,'
then hurried away without ever looking up. Shari led her family to a table and arranged them so she and Stavin were together. She whispered,
"'This is a shock, isn't it?'
Stavin shook his head.
"'No, not really. This is what most normal inns are like. Most places only have one kind of food each day. I thought Sally told you about her uncle's inn.' I'd bet even the royal inns were preparing extra in honor of our arrival. I hadn't considered that. Sally did explain how inns operated. I just thought her inn was very small.
Stavin chuckled. It felt good after the summer he'd had.
Sally's inn was probably twice the size of this one. We'll have to leave a little extra for the innkeeper when we go. We're chasing away all of her regular customers.
Shari nodded, but was distracted by the innkeeper's return with their food. She sighed and said,
"'That smells wonderful,'
as she smiled at the innkeeper.
"'Thank you, your highness,'
Innkeeper Felvanden replied, as she set a bowl in front of each of them. A trencher of thick sliced bread with whipped butter was placed in the center of the table, and a man followed her with the drinks. When the food was on the table, Stavin looked at Karvik. Karvik bowed and said,
"'You can go ahead and eat, your highness. I had some stew and beer while you were bathing, and I've stayed in the kitchen watching the pot and keg.'
Carlin looked at him and said,
"'No fear, Uncle Carr.'
"'Fear is a relative term, Prince Carlin,' Karvik replied. "'My doing that means you don't have to let your food get cold while you wait to see if I got poisoned.'
Carlin said,
"'Oh!'
in a surprised tone, then started eating.
"'This is really good,'
he managed to say around a mouthful. The man who had brought their drinks bowed deeply.
"Thank you, Your Highness. I am pleased and honored that it meets your approval."
With that, he returned to the kitchen. Karvik explained. "He's the cook. He's also the innkeeper's husband. We talked while I was in the kitchen." Stavin took a bite and hummed in appreciation.
"This is really good. Remember Endar Belvandar's endless stew?"
Karvik chuckled as he nodded. "It's not that good, but it's close." When they had finished eating, Stavin instructed the innkeeper to invite the council to join them. Soon Stavin and Shari were facing three men and two women, and neither of them was surprised to find that the innkeeper was one of them.
"Good men and good women of the council, we are pleased to meet you," Stavin began, and gave them a half bow. "Princess Sharindis and I are honored by your greeting."
The mayor stood and bowed deeply.
"It is we who are honored by your presence, Prince Stephen. You delivered us from the priests of Lebowan."
"Was there trouble here?"
Shari asked. The mayor looked at the table and nodded as he softly replied,
"Yes, Your Highness. The priest came over from Deltar with 10 of his followers, and announced that Lebowan was our only god, and worship of Lady Sarin was forbidden. Then they took poor Bertie and stoned him in the square."
The mayor paused for a moment, then shook his head without looking up.
"Some of our people were forced to participate, including each of us."
Shari asked,
"Who was Bertie?"
in a gentle tone. The mayor glanced up, then studied the table again as he clasped his hands in front of him.
"Bertie was a simple, moon-faced man. He had the mind of a child, but the muscles of an ox. The whole town supported him, and he helped us with the heavy work."
"And Priest Wandan ordered him stoned as soon as he saw him,"
one of the women whispered. Stavin looked at them and shook his head.
"You should have stopped them."
"We couldn't, Your Highness,"
the mayor said in a tone that was nearly pleading.
"Lebowan's high priest had become our king. All of Lebowan's priests took advantage of that to enforce Lebowan's will on everyone."
Shari laid a hand on Stavin's arm to calm him down. She glanced at his face when she felt his arm trembling, then focused on the mayor again.
"Were any others condemned?"
The mayor shook his head.
"No, Your Highness. Not here, at least."
Shari frowned at him as she said,
"You must write down everything you saw, everything you heard, and yes, everything you did."
She shook her head sadly.
"The report must be sent to Minister of Justice Kel'Martal. King Teravan is taking a hard line with the Cutter's priests."
"Yes, Your Highness,"
the mayor agreed and bowed. The discussion continued for 10 spans before Stavin put an end to it.
"The night grows late, and we are leaving early in the morning. We thank you all for your greeting. Innkeeper Felvanden, we prefer eggs, lean meat and porridge, either wheat or oat, with milk and honey for our morning meal."
"Yes, Your Highness,"
she replied, bowing deeply as Stavin and Shari headed for the stairs. Stavin and Shari were up even later that night.
"Gods below, I should have expected this,"
Stavin said in a low, intense voice as he stalked around the room.
"We both should have,"
Shari agreed in a much milder tone.
"The priests of Lebowan had free rein while that bastard was in power. Terry and Ellie are going to be busy trying all the priests who violated the law and examined people who are not Lebowan's followers.
Unless Zeldravel changed that law,"
Stavin muttered.
Shari shook her head as she replied, "He didn't. Mary Kel'Martal said that beyond proclaiming himself king, he hadn't made any changes to Karevia's laws."
Stavin came to a stop in the center of the room and almost whispered,
"Then we need to bring that priest to justice,"
as if he was speaking to himself. Shari looked at him and shook her head.
"That is no longer our right or duty, Stavin."
Stavin rounded on her and said,
"We can at least arrest him. We can at least put an end to his terrorizing people, murdering people, stealing everything he wants in the name of his false god."
He was leaning forward and glaring in a way she had never seen before, and his hands were clenching and relaxing repeatedly. Shari stepped back from Stephen in shock.
"Stevie?"
Stephen had to fight down the rage he was feeling and explain.
"I'm not talking about executing him myself. I'm talking about sending him to Moravat to face King Teravan. We have the largest armed force in the area. It's our duty to take him."
Shari was shaking her head.
"No, Stevie, it isn't. This isn't our kingdom."
Stephen looked her in the eye and said,
"I am Princess Alisan's heir and a scion of the chosen clan of Darvin. As my wife, you are also a scion of Zeldarvin, and so are the children. Until Ellie reaches her majority, I'm actually the crown prince. That makes Caravia our kingdom just as much as Evandia is."
Shari was quiet for a time, then she nodded.
"You are right, Stephen. But even Alisan can't condemn a priest. Only the king or queen has that authority."
Stephen ground his teeth, then forced himself to relax.
"Maybe not. But we can put an end to his reign of terror."
Chapter 24. The road they were on didn't lead to Deltar, but it was only a 2-day detour to get there. Deltar was a large town with more than 17,000 souls calling it home. High stone walls surrounded the town, but taller buildings were easily visible over them. The wall stretched out for dragons on each side of the gate, looking tall and impregnable. Alarm bells began ringing as soon as the cavalry troopers cleared the trees. Captain Zelkorval sent one of his lieutenants forward to announce who they were and who they were escorting. The force had stopped, but they didn't expect any trouble, so they didn't form into a defensive formation. That changed when one of the men at Deltar's gate shot a crossbow bolt into the lieutenant's chest, sending him tumbling from his saddle. The cavalry troopers reacted immediately, and bugle calls rolled across the meadow as Captain Zelkorval led his men and women forward at a gallop. Karvik rode his horse in front of Stephen to prevent him from joining the fight. "I can't let you participate, Steve." For a wonder, Stephen didn't argue.
"Prepare our people, Kar,"
Stephen ordered, not taking his eyes off Deltar.
"We may have to support the cavalry."
Karvik nodded, then added, "But you stay back with your family."
"We will,"
Shari assured him. She already had her dragon's tongue in her hands, and Karlin had his staff. Someone had closed the gates, but the cavalry troopers pushed them open easily. They weren't barred. The troopers rode through and attacked any priest they saw. Some civilians joined the fighting, but the troopers didn't stop to differentiate between the priests and simple supporters of Lebowan. Fortunately, they were too well disciplined to attack those who surrendered. The priests were shouting, exhorting their followers to fight for Lebowan's glory, but soon found themselves being forced backwards into Lebowan's temple. The great door closed in the face of the cavalry troopers, and this time the bolts were thrown. Midday passed as the fighting continued through the day. The shouts and screams of battle were muted by the distance, but not enough. When the girls started crying, Shari took them to the carriage and sang to them to calm them down. Even Karlin was affected.
"This isn't a teal,"
he whispered.
"Teals aren't like this."
"No, Carly, it isn't,"
Karvik said in a gentle tone as he maneuvered Chana next to Carlin's horse. He put an armored hand over the boy's hands and smiled sadly.
"This is a lesson most boys don't have to learn before they are grown men."
"This is the part of the battle. Never makes it into the tales and ballads,"
Stephen said as he looked at his son.
"He looks so frightened and sad.
This is why old warriors prefer to farm rather than fight."
Karlin looked at his father with tears trickling down his cheeks as he asked,
"Even you?"
in a quavering voice.
"Well, I'd prefer to be a scribe in the archive," Stephen answered with a small smile and a one-shouldered shrug.
"Why don't you go join Mummy and the girls?
You don't need to be out here.
Carlin hurried to the carriage and disappeared. You know, I almost believed you, Karvik muttered.
I meant it, Car, Stavin muttered back. If I went in there, I'd slaughter those priests. But I would really rather be copying scrolls than fighting. It's not like I can earn another star.
Captain Zelkorval rode out to them 15 spans later. He dismounted and walked forward before bowing to Stavin. He didn't look Stavin in the eye as he reported. That priest slaughtered hundreds of men, women, and children here, including all of Lady Saren's priestesses. Stavin cursed vilely for a moment, then said,
Continue.
He claimed almost the entire town for Lebowan and put his followers in power. The mayor and council were among the first to be condemned and murdered. Stavin demanded,
Where is he?
In an angry tone that was underscored by an angrier growl.
And his temple, Your Highness,
the captain replied, backing a step away from Stavin's anger. Stavin thought for a moment, fighting down the desire to charge in and execute all of Lebowan's priests, then nodded sharply as he came to a conclusion.
You should contain him there. No one should be allowed in or out of the temple. We'll need someone to ride to the nearest fort for reinforcements.
He shook his head for a moment.
A message book would be so handy at a time like this.
Indeed, Prince Stephen, the captain agreed. Unfortunately, they cost too much for anyone but the king and generals to have one.
And the gold merchants, Karvik pointed out.
Indeed,
Stavin said as he considered his statement.
I don't suppose there's a chapter house of the gold merchants here, is there?
He asked, as he turned back to the captain.
No, Your Highness. Deltar is a fair-sized town, but still too small for that. That would have been too convenient, wouldn't it?
Stavin grumbled as he looked at Karvik.
So we'll do it the hard way. I'll write a letter to the general explaining our situation.
Stavin looked around and shook his head.
Is the town safe, or should we camp out here?
Captain Zelkorval thought for a moment, then shook his head.
I don't think it's a good idea for you or your family to go into the city at this time, Prince Stephen. That priest had a lot of followers, or at least people who were willing to obey him.
Stephen looked at the carriage, then sighed.
Very well. This looks like as good a place as any.
He looked at Karvik.
Major Kulkarin, set camp. Make sure our cooks and the army cooks are preparing a meal. The troops are going to be hungry by the time they are done.
Karvik bowed and said, Yes, Prince Stephen. Stavin shifted his focus back to the captain.
See to your people, Captain. How many casualties did you suffer?
Captain Zelkorval glanced over his shoulder before answering.
Only one dead. Lieutenant Kelrelvan was shot through the heart. There were 28 wounded, but only 3 of them are serious. Overall, we were very lucky.
Stavin shook his head.
My authority over you and your men is too limited, Captain. We need a higher-ranking Caribbean officer.
The captain bowed deeply.
Senior Warmaster Zelandral, you are the highest-ranking officer in Caribbea, and you are a member of the royal family. King Taravan made that clear. We are yours to command.
Stavin considered that for a moment before finally shaking his head.
Very well. Set camp and divide your men into watch sections. I want that temple surrounded day and night. I still want to send a message to the nearest fort for reinforcements.
I'll have a rider ready to go in a span, Warmaster.
Stavin shook his head again.
No, let your people rest and eat. Morning will be soon enough to send for help.
Stavin looked toward the town, and his expression turned sad. A line of soldiers were bringing out the wounded. It was some time later that a delegation from the town came out to them. Captain Zelkorval met them well short of the camp.
That's far enough,
he said, holding his hand out flat to stop them.
We are seeking Prince Stephen Dragonblessed,
the woman who was the apparent leader said as she stopped. Captain Zelkorval nodded, then asked,
Who are you?
I am Lady Devaran Zelmatis. My husband was Lord Mayor of Delta before...
Her voice faded, but everyone knew what she wasn't saying. The captain bowed.
I am Ralan Zelkoval, Lady Zelmatis. With your permission, I will go tell Prince Stephen that you want to talk to him.
The lady bowed slightly in acceptance, and he turned away. Stephen nodded his approval, and the captain led the delegation into the camp. Stephen stood as they approached and said,
Welcome, Lady Zelmatis.
All five members of the delegation bowed deeply. Then the lady stepped forward.
Prince Stephen, we wish to know your intentions toward the city.
Stephen had been spending a lot of time talking with Shari and Carr about that.
Our intentions are to return control of Delta to the rightful council and the seized properties to their rightful owners.
The tension drained from the council members.
Prince Stephen, we are very grateful. We feared the Cutter's priests would be able to keep everything they stole.
No. Those seizures were illegal, as were the condemnations. I intend to send all of Lebawan's priests to Moravad for trial by King Taravan.
What about... Your pardon, Prince Stephen. Who is going to be the new Lord Mayor?
Lady Zelmatis asked.
Stephen thought for a moment, then said, I don't know. How are mayors appointed in Caravia?
By the king,
Shari answered from his side.
Or his chosen representative.
Stephen bowed to her before turning back to the delegation.
Lady Zelmatis, until the king can make a final decision, you are appointed interim Lady Mayor of Delta. Who you pick for your city council is your decision.
The lady bowed deeply, and the men and women behind her followed her lead.
We thank you, Prince Stephen. With your permission, we will consult the city archives and find the original property deeds for the seized properties.
She shook her head slowly.
In most instances, the entire family was condemned, so we will have to find their closest living relatives.
Stephen bowed slightly and said,
Then we leave the task in your capable hands. I will ask that a copy of what you find be forwarded to the King's Minister of Justice. These crimes will be addressed, but the King needs evidence to use against these priests. Then he can legally execute them.
The entire council bowed again, then turned and walked away. Karvik was standing behind Stephen's right shoulder.
I think the new Lady Mayor has her hands full. That priest murdered a lot of people, a lot of whole families.
Stephen nodded his agreement, then turned to the more pleasant task of tending to his family. Early the next morning, just after first light, Stephen sent a squad of 10 cavalry troopers toward Fort Kelvardil, with a call for help. It was a short time later that Captain Zelkoval approached Stephen with a new problem.
Prince Stephen, several of Lebawan's priests are demanding to see you. They seem to be upset that you are taking Delta back from them.
The captain grinned as Stephen shook his head.
Where are they?
The captain bowed and said,
In their temple. Per your orders, we aren't letting anyone out or in. They're upset about that as well. Apparently they have limited provisions of food and water in the temple and demand that more be brought to them.
Stephen shook his head.
No. No one in or out. No deliveries of food or water.
Stephen!
Shari exclaimed.
That's no more than they deserve.
Stephen snapped.
King Taravan and the Chosen didn't get any food or water in the dungeons.
Stephen, that's wrong. You cannot solve this problem by echoing their behavior. We are better than that.
Stephen glared at her with both hands balled into fists for a moment, then closed his eyes and took a deep breath.
Very well, Captain. Find out how many of them there are, then provide half a loaf and a short bucket of water for each of them.
Shari was still glaring at him.
That's sufficient. Cruel, but sufficient.
Stephen shrugged as he fought to control his raging emotions.
They are misbehaving prisoners. so they get treated like misbehaving prisoners. As for me meeting with any of them," he turned back toward the captain, "no. They will face the king soon enough."
Captain Zelkorval bowed and went to carry out his orders. Stavin turned away from Shari and all but stomped his way over to the horses. Shari caught Karvik's arm and held him back.
"What's wrong with him?"
she demanded in a low tone.
"He's been touchy for a while, but nothing like this."
Karvik shook his head as he gazed after Stavin. "I don't know, Shari. He hasn't been the same since Trade Town, but he's gotten worse since what happened at Moravad, and especially Aravad. He's becoming vicious." Shari took a deep breath, then just sighed.
"Hopefully he'll calm down once we get home. Maybe it's just the stress of having this whole mess dumped on him by King Taravan."
"I hope so,"
Karvik whispered.
"I certainly hope so."
The day progressed quietly after that. Stavin spent far too much time grooming his horse and talking to her, repeating his behavior of his younger years, when his only friend had been True, his first mare. Stavin finally returned to his family in a better mood. Shari didn't say anything about the morning, and the twins soon had him occupied in one of their games. It was after the midday meal when another group of people came out to the camp. Karvik talked to them first, then escorted them to see Stavin.
"Your Highness,"
he began, grinning as he bowed, "the innkeepers of Deltar crave a moment of your time." Stavin and Shari exchanged a glance, then he nodded. Karvik waved the group of 13 men and women forward. An older woman took the lead, bowing very deeply before speaking.
"Your Highness, I am Ellen Stanfell Naran, keeper of the Snow Goose Inn. My fellows and I wish to invite you to stay at one of our inns. We would all be honored, no matter which inn you choose."
Stavin shook his head.
"Thank you, but we are staying out here until the army declares the town safe. That vile priest had too many followers. Until the army and the royal guards declare the town clear of the cutter's followers, I will not risk taking my wife and children inside its walls."
But, Prince Stavin, they—"
Stavin shouted.
"I said no!"
as he rose to his feet. The innkeepers bolted, running away from Stavin's anger. Shari shook her head slowly.
"That was unnecessary."
"I'm tired of arguing with everyone,"
Stavin said angrily.
"Then stop starting arguments,"
Shari snapped.
"Keep it up, and no one is going to want to talk to you."
Stavin stared at her for a moment, then snapped.
"I didn't start that,"
in a tone that made it clear he thought she was being unfair.
"Yes, you did,"
Shari snapped back.
"You don't know what she was going to say because you cut her off. We may be here for 20 or 30 days before Lord General Zell Enred gets here. I, for one, would like a bath, and you, for another, need a bath."
Shari snapped to her feet and walked away while Stavin sat in silence watching her. Stavin finally looked at Karvik and asked,
"Am I doing that?"
"Yes."
"Why?"
Karvik walked over and sat in Shari's chair.
"Steve, I don't know why, but I think I know when. Ever since Trade Town you've been on edge, ready for a fight, even when there was no threat."
Stavin sat still for a moment, then nodded slowly as he considered what Shari and Karvik had said. He whispered,
"Since I let the dragon take control."
Karvik nodded again.
"You don't show it very often. Only a few of us have seen it, but when you're angry, the dragon still influences you. Do you even hear yourself growling?"
"When did I growl?"
"You were growling just now,"
Karvik replied, turning Stavin to face him.
"Growling like an angry dragon."
Stavin's anger cooled into dread.
"When else?"
he whispered. "In the palace, in the dungeons, at Fort Zelkaren,
any time you get really angry about something. Carvink leaned toward Stephen. Any time someone makes you really angry.
I was growling at Shari,
he asked, looking up at Carvik with an expression of dread on his face. Carvik nodded slowly as he replied, Yes. Stephen sat forward and put his face in his hands. After about 10 breaths, he sat back.
I have to go apologize to Shari.
Carvik nodded, but he was grinning.
Yep.
And you better be ready to say, Yes, Shari, a lot, because she's not going to let you off easy. Stephen got up and walked toward the carriage. Shari met him with her hands on her hips.
What?
Stephen cringed. He knew that tone of voice.
Shari, I'm sorry. I don't know why I've been acting like this.
Sharon Disc glared at him for a moment, then stepped forward and cupped his face with both hands.
Stephen, I know you've been changed by the dragon magic. I know you've been under enormous pressure on this trip. But you are not like this. You are not cruel.
She stepped back and shook her head.
Something has changed you, made you into someone I almost don't recognize. Someone I don't like.
Kaa says I've been growling like a dragon.
Yes, you have. You've growled at me. You've growled at him. You've even growled at the children a few times. You need to start thinking and not just reacting.
Stephen bowed his head in shame. He whispered,
Yes, Shari. Those innkeepers had every reason and right to invite us into town. Yes, Shari. You are going to task the cavalry and guards with clearing that town. You are going to get rid of as many of those bastards as possible in the next 3 days. Yes, Shari. Why 3 days? Because my moon starts in 3 days, and I want a bath.
Stephen shrank back, then said,
Yes, Shari.
She turned away from him, and he beat a hasty retreat. Carvik was looking at him with an odd expression on his face.
I'll get with Captain Zelkorval in the morning and arrange sweeps of the city.
Stephen nodded.
And to find out if there is a bathhouse. I can send Mariah and her women in with Shari, backed by the cavalry women. You know, I forgot how important baths are to girls.
Us too, especially in this heat.
Stephen shrugged one shoulder.
She said I need a bath too.
I heard.
Do I?
Yes, we all do. All other considerations aside, you know the reasons for camp hygiene as well as I do. Do you want a case of foot rot, or worse?
Stephen shook his head emphatically.
No. Have I spent so much time in the palace that I'm making greenling mistakes?
He asked, tilting his head to the side to look up at Carvik.
Carvik was nodding slowly as he replied, It's been over 3 years, Steve. You got used to staying in royal inns on the way out, traveling with the army. We all used the facilities when we were allowed, but Shari and the kids, and the rest of the women as well, need to keep cleaner than we do.
Stephen shook his head slowly as he muttered,
Basic camp hygiene and discipline. And I forgot it. What else am I forgetting?
Chapter 25 The morning brought surprises. Deltar boasted 3 public bathhouses, and all it took was mentioning them to Shari to send her, the twins, the maids, and every woman from the guard and cavalry into town. Stephen watched them go with a sigh.
Where is my mind?
He asked the morning breeze.
Daddy?
Carlin asked. Stephen looked down at his son and shook his head.
Carlin, there are so many little things that I've been forgetting lately that I'm worried. Mummy's mad at you. Now that, my son, I knew. When the women are done with the baths, we'll take our turn. Mummy says I stink.
Carlin giggled.
She says we all need baths. She says this is worse than Cavinston in the winter because it's hot and we smell like our horses.
Stephen smiled at his son and bowed his head.
and she's probably right.
The day continued, with one watch section at a time cycling through the baths. Per Shari's orders, the Royal Guard and Cavalry were investigating the city, seeking the followers of Lebowan. Karvik reported to Shari and Stavin after the evening meal. "We've only found a few of the Cutter's followers. Most of them seem to have died fighting the cavalry, or tucked their tails and ran when the fighting was done."
Shari said, "Thank you, Kar. And what about the other thing I asked about?"
Karvik bowed as Stavin turned toward Shari with a puzzled expression. Karvik said, "The Blue Heron Inn is considered the best by all of the Chosen I spoke to." Shari nodded.
"Very well. Stephen, we should move tomorrow after the morning meal. That will give the guards time to thoroughly check out the Blue Heron."
Stephen replied,
"Yes, Shari."
Karvik bowed and turned away, managing to keep his mirth in check until he was three steps away. Then he started chuckling. Stavin shook his head.
"Shari, I'm sorry I forgot how important baths are to women."
Shari scowled at him.
"You've forgotten a lot of things lately, Stavin." "I know. I just don't know why."
Shari looked at him for a moment, then shook her head.
"We, you and I, need to work on this, Stavin. Courtesy aside, you are a very dangerous man. You are dangerous because of your weapons prowess, and because of the authority you have as a prince and a warmaster. Losing your temper could cost hundreds of lives."
Stavin sat, staring at the ground for a moment, then nodded.
"Kaelin once told me pretty much the same thing. He said I had to consider everything I did and said in the council, because it could affect so many people."
Shari nodded slowly.
"You need to step back and consider all of your options now."
"What do you mean?"
"Stephen, when Lord General Zelenred gets here, you should turn this mess over to him, and we should leave."
"Why?" Stephen demanded loudly. Shari just looked at him for a moment, and he shook his head as he realized what he'd done.
"I'm sorry, you're right, of course, and I shouldn't have reacted that way. You are seeing threats and challenges where none exist. It's like you're jealously protecting everything."
Stavin looked at the ground between his feet and whispered,
"Like a dragon guarding its territory."
Shari nodded and then took pity on him.
"Stevie, you've been thrust into the center of so many fights, so many challenges. It's not surprising that your fight-or-flight reflex is locked in fight mode. We need to get you home, back to Twin Bridges or even Cavenston. We need to get you someplace safe, someplace where you can be Stephen Kel'Aniston again, and not Warmaster Zel'Andral."
The Blue Heron Inn was fit to be a royal inn. Built of yellow brick, it stood four stories tall and had a red tile roof. Glazed windows reflected the morning light, and a wide balcony circled the building at the level of each floor. Karvik and a diminutive woman met them at the foot of the stairs.
"Prince Stephen, Princess Sharindis, please allow me to present Mistress Hanan Bel Herrel, innkeeper of the Blue Heron. Her master and mistress died opposing Lebowan's priests, and she took over."
The woman went to her knees and bowed her head deeply.
"Your pardon, Prince Stephen, but I—"
She paused and swallowed before she continued.
"I swore to Lebowan to save myself."
Stephen was silent, so Shari took the lead.
"You saved more than yourself, didn't you?"
she asked.
"Yes, Princess Sharindis. My children, Sara, Mishan, and Jelan. I can find no fault in a woman who bows to a false master to save her children,"
Shari replied.
"For as long as we have existed as a race, women have done what we had to do to protect our children."
Shari looked at Stavin, then elbowed him in the ribs when he didn't say anything.
"Oh, yes, women must protect their families,"
he stammered as he rubbed his ribs. He was looking at the woman with an odd expression.
"Stavin?"
Shari asked, leaving the question open.
It's just that I'd forgotten how hard it must have been for the common folk of the kingdom,"
he replied in a soft, confused tone.
"We chased his army, but Zeldravel turned the priests of Lebawan loose on the people of Karevia like a pack of wolves on a flock of sheep." "Yes."